Well, Peter certainly tells a good story, doesn't he? This account of a picnic from heaven. What an image. And we get to hear it twice because Luke writes about it in the previous chapter, in chapter 10. And you might like to, when you go home, have a look at that in Acts chapter 10. And the passage that we're reading from Acts 11 is when Peter is offering his defense against the critics of his meeting with and eating with unclean Gentiles. And of course, Peter, being the well brought up Jew that he was obviously realized that he was causing offense to those who were strict in their observance about not meeting with non-Jews. So the retelling of that story reinforces the power of the message. And the main message that I think we need to seek within the passages today is that God enables change. The vision was shown three times to Peter. The same Peter who three times denied Christ and three times was forgiven. It makes me feel that if Peter could err and be forgiven, there is a lot of hope for me and all of us in the way that we also err in what God calls us to do. So Peter experienced that vision from heaven, but he was also changed by it. And it was God's intervention in Peter's life that turned things upside down. In this instance, the tradition of the relationship between Jew and Gentile was turned upside down. It was completely inverted, continuing what Jesus, of course, did in his own teaching and preaching. We know that he raised up those who were spurned by society, women, children, the poor, the ill, the lame. And so God continues to do this in his teaching to the early church. The law of Moses defined the pre-Christian Jewish thinking. And that was God's way to ensure that the Jews followed tradition and protocol. Now, the teaching of the Torah, the law, has been turned upside down. This is now God's way to break tradition and to found new relationships. God changed the expected to allow for the unexpected to happen in Peter's life. That image of the sheet coming down with all the unclean animals. And what did God say? Nothing is unclean. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times to emphasize the lesson that God wanted to teach. And of course, while the image is of these animals that Jewish law forbade Peter to eat, it was a metaphor for the unclean Gentiles. God is emphasizing that nothing in his creation is profane, common, unclean. And he was saying to Peter, don't judge what I have made, don't condemn it, but regard all things as clean because they have been made by God. It shows that God's love is impartial. He cares for all his creation. And I wonder whether we might, perhaps like Peter, who was judging the Gentiles, perhaps have some in our society with whom we are uncomfortable and who we may judge. God was teaching Peter to exercise obedience. In Acts 10, verse 20, and also in Acts 11, 12, we read how God instructed Peter to go with these men, and he went with them. And Cornelius, who was at the other end of the story, had a great story as well. He had a vision of a visiting angel. And he too, like Peter, was told to do something. Send men to Joppa. And with the obedience expected of a good soldier, he sent them. We understand that he was not yet a believer in Christ, but he was a God-fearing Gentile. As it says, he made contributions for the welfare of the synagogue and those in need. So we have the two stories. We have Peter and we have Cornelius. And we have God, through his planning, is bringing these two parallel stories into convergence to one encounter. And I wonder whether we see that in our lives, how God moves the pieces in our lives to put us in a certain place, perhaps. So Cornelius responded by sending men to Peter at Joppa, and Peter went back with them to Cornelius at Caesarea. Peter was enabled to step out from his place of safety. He moved from the safety of the shallows into deeper water. We might recall that that puts in mind the passage in Luke where Jesus was preaching and he went out in the boat and he said to Simon Peter, put your net out on the other side of the boat. Go out into deeper water. And Simon Peter answered, Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets. If you say so, I will. Whatever it might be. And God is working in our lives today. I suggest that coincidences don't happen to Christians. God is planning our lives. He's leading us into ways where he wants us to go. And often we don't listen and we make the wrong moves and he has to move others rather like on a chessboard so that we come into the place where he does want us to be. Which may be in the right place to offer help. To make that phone call, to make that visit, to challenge and to encourage somebody who is struggling with their faith. To Peter and Cornelius, they were each different. They were the other to the other. Who is the other to me, to you, today? It might be through somebody's lifestyle or their background, or their sexuality, or their morality. Who is our Cornelius that we should be listening to God to bring us to them? For God's love is impartial, and he wants all to come to him. God sees only the godness, the image of himself in all that he has made. In every one of creation. And we too should be looking for that. Look beyond what seems to us to be different and perhaps uncomfortable. Peter, we know, had a story to tell to Cornelius. In verse 11:14, we read that Cornelius was told, Peter will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. Words to bring salvation and forgiveness. It's the good news of the gospel. Gospel is Old English simply meaning a good tale. The good news of Jesus Christ. And it's a story for us all. It's a story for those in our community. It's a story for those who we meet with day by day at our work, in our places of recreation. It's a story for our families. Sometimes the most difficult place to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And it is a universal message. In 1 Timothy we read, God desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And here in Acts we read that all the prophets testify about Jesus, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. There has to be faith and belief and acceptance. So whilst the message is universal, the outcome is not universal. It needs that step of faith to believe. That wonderful verse we all know from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life." The universalist will say that all will receive salvation at the end and be restored to a right relationship with God. Why, if that is the case, did Jesus die on the cross for you and for me? And that's the message that Peter brought to Cornelius. Jesus died for him, and Cornelius needed to accept in faith the good news of that decision of Christ for us. And Cornelius believed it through his simple faith. He heard, he believed, and God, through his grace, gave of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so Peter had him baptized. God took the initiative as the gift giver of the Holy Spirit. And Peter remembered Jesus' words just before he went up into heaven in Acts 1. "For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius as a continuation of that Pentecost blessing. The Gentiles received the same gift as came upon those first Jewish Christians. And part of the argument that Peter was having with the Jewish brothers, the Jewish Christian brothers, was that Gentiles should also be circumcised into the Jewish faith before they could be Christian. Of course, the Council of Jerusalem confirmed that that was not necessary and that it is by faith that they become Christian. The water baptism that Cornelius and his household received was symbolic of that new life in Christ that was already his through that gift of the Holy Spirit. So Peter experienced this story of God, Cornelius believed it, and we need to live it. Peter struggled with seeing Gentiles as not unclean. He could not, he realized, argue with God. Cornelius' model was for him to show the breadth of God's gift of salvation. And I wonder how we too need to see God's hand in the changed circumstances in our own Christian lives, how it will apply to our worship and our witness. Briefly, in looking at the Gospel from John this morning, we are reminded that by your love, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Jesus is calling for unity in our key beliefs, consistency in our action, and constancy in our care. And this Christian love that Jesus is calling upon us is empowered by that Holy Spirit that came upon Cornelius. And the Holy Spirit indeed is sent to us to remind us of Jesus and his teaching. Salvation, as we see from this story, comes at the cost of our obedience. And you might like, when you go home, to cast your eye over the Old Testament reading about Abraham, another story of obedience, where he is called to sacrifice Isaac. What might we be called to give up or to overturn in obedience to God's call to truly be his disciple? Are we willing to put out into deep water, to let down the nets where God calls us to go, and to see what happens in the most unlikely circumstances? It so happens that there's been conference that Bishop Stephen has held this week. And I have sent to the PCC, and I have some hard copies here if anybody is interested, of the first of four sessions, exploring what it means to put out into deep water. We began a conversation in the PCC on Thursday evening, and I hope that we will continue with a couple of study days in the autumn, and then engage with us all in hearing and responding to Jesus' challenge to fish in deep waters. To fish for ourselves in our own spiritual growth through prayer and study and Christian conversation. And of going into those deep waters of accepting the practical challenges of forming deeper and different relationships in whatever way the Holy Spirit will equip us to reach souls for Christ. As Peter said to Jesus, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, if you tell us to go out into the depths, I will let down the nets. I will go where you call me to go. I will speak to whosoever you send me." Let us pray. Prayer that Bishop Stephen has prepared for this time. Father, the sea is so great and our boat is so small. Inspire your church as we put out into deep water. Help us to be contemplative, compassionate, and courageous in your mission. Guide us by your Spirit to discover where you are working. Help us to join the building of your kingdom, and anoint us afresh to make disciples in your name. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who calls us and sends us, with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.